Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with James O'Brien.
12:49 is the time and hours now until Donald Trump becomes the first American president in 150-something years not to attend the inauguration of his successor. 4 years ago, of course, Donald Trump thanked Barack Obama for his gracious aid in the transition period while Barack Obama waved from the crowd. And staying at the current incumbents of the White House, CNN are reporting that Melania Trump, who's Be Kind to People on the Internet campaign, was, I think we can all agree, the crowning success of the Trump tenure at the White House. Melania Trump has outsourced her thank you notes to her staff. So she's obviously very busy leading the fight against internet trolls, despite being married to a man banned from Twitter for inciting racial violence, or at least violence. Oh ho. I don't know how Simon Mark does it. How do you steer through? Are you looking forward to a more peaceful professional life, Simon Marks?
Yes, with the caveat that I'm not entirely certain that that's going to arrive.
No, I know. We discussed that yesterday. But it is, you're not going to be cataloguing calumnies and corruption from the actual White House, are you?
No, that will definitely be a new dawn that is about to arrive here. President Trump leaving the White House, we think, in about 10 minutes' time, heading to his send-off ceremony at Andrews Air Force Base. There is copious amounts of evidence to suggest that they have had difficulty recruiting a crowd to engage
Surely
in the send-off.
Not.
Yeah,
oh,
because
they should go. It's not too late for Nigel to hop on a plane, is it?
You could probably just no. It probably is too late. But no, they've had trouble filling it. They've had trouble filling it because all of these people that he's crossed over the last 4 years have all disclosed that they were being hastily invited to attend the send-off ceremony.
Oh, I saw
including,
this. Yes.
Including Scaramucci, the former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, who said dreadful things about Donald Trump now that he's no longer the White House Chief of Staff. Never had many of them to say while he was the White House Chief of Staff. So it's going to be very interesting to see just how substantial the crowd or lack thereof is at Andrews Air Force Base, where apparently he's going to make a 15-minute speech on top of the 19-minute videotaped farewell that he put out yesterday, insisting that his movement is only just getting started and the best is yet to come. He actually uses that phrase at the end of the video. And then he, with the nuclear football, because remember he'll still be carrying that, will clamber aboard Air Force One for one last insult to the country, the flight to Florida, instead of the attendance at the inauguration. And I actually did the maths last night for Tom Swarbrick.
Oh, yes.
Donald Trump is, as we speak, 1,584 feet away from Joe Biden. They have spent the night separated by a mere 1,584 feet, the distance between the White House, where the Trumps were spending their final night, and Blair House, where the Bidens were spending their first night in Washington. It's directly opposite the White House.
How incredible.
At any time, Donald Trump, or who knows, even the First Lady, who championed, of course, as you were noting, the Be Best campaign, they could have said to the Secret Service, I tell you what, let's walk across the street and at least welcome them to Washington.
Basic good manners.
Just basic decency, even if you were then going to snub presidential tradition, America's constitutional traditions, and skip town and not bother to attend the inauguration, much less invite them into the White House for a cup of coffee and an opportunity to check out the furniture. None of that, of course, has happened. So, I hadn't heard that line about her outsourcing the thank you notes. Yeah. That's tremendous. But also, you know, just evidence of the fact that, you know, the legacy that they're talking about trying to celebrate today is just so very thin in so many areas. I mean, there are unquestionably accomplishments, you know, the flurry of agreements that have been signed between Israel and various countries that had age-old animus towards it. I mean, they weren't at war with it. They weren't really peace agreements, but they were nonetheless achievements of a concrete fashion in foreign policy. We saw yesterday Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, on the Trump administration's final day, branding China a country that is engaged in genocide against the Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. That is going to be an issue that Joe Biden inherits.
Yes.
And look, we can all agree that the economy was in relatively strong shape, certainly not the strongest economy in the history of the world, as the president likes to describe it, but it was in strong shape before COVID-19 hit. But
it was
then,
in
of course,
I know where you're going next. It was in strong shape before it became president.
Well, it was in strong shape before he became president as well. But then, of course, the denialism about COVID-19. And, you know, one has to keep remembering there is nothing inherently Republican about denying the threat a global pandemic poses to your country. That and the 400,000 number, the 400,000 deaths that we notched up yesterday, the threshold was passed yesterday, really is a monumental difficulty for Donald Trump, coupled with then the violent insurrection on Capitol Hill 2 weeks ago.
Forgive me if I've asked you this before. I mean, things get muddled up in the madness, but if the virus hadn't come along, do you think he'd be celebrating the start of his second term today?
Well, I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
And I think, actually, even if the virus had come along and he'd reacted to it in a responsible, normal fashion...
Vaguely responsible
if
way.
I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't have led a massive patriotic effort to rally the country and to say, we're in a war, we're going to do exactly what we did during the Second World War, we are going to come together... I am going to engage in national leadership here. I'm not going to play individual states off against one another. But in order to do that, he would have had to have been a different human being. He would have had to have been a man who was willing to spend time understanding the details of viruses, of vaccines, of the public health professionals' response to all of this. And, you know, I'm always interested watching from afar, much as I understand the criticism that exists on your side of the Atlantic about the way the government has responded to COVID-19. It is still jarring for those of us who are here to watch those briefings that Boris Johnson and other government ministers have held, flanked as they are by Chris Whitty and Patrick Vallance, and to see the floor being given to science advisers who in this country have been not just marginalized, but absolutely deliberately undercut by the President of the United States at every turn, pulling the rug out from beneath Dr. Deborah Birx,
yes.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, until he found a doctor he liked, Dr. Scott Atlas, who basically believes in herd immunity and just let the virus rip. And the, it's just been jarring to observe that from a 4,000-mile distance.
I'm sure it has, and you lead us perfectly back to where the program began this morning with the question of whether Donald Trump actually believes the lies that come out of his mouth, and of course finding a doctor who would support what he wanted to be true as opposed to what was actually true is a perfect example of that. You I'm sure you'll be on with Sheila, but you're limbering up for the big event with Eddie Mair later this afternoon. Simon, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you at any time, but the quality of your coverage and the calibre of your journalism throughout Donald Trump's tenure in the White House has been a privilege to witness, never mind to actually be part of. So thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you very much. It's been a privilege to do it, and we shall continue doing it, even with a new president.
Of course we will. There may be some court cases on the horizon that you'll have to cover for us as well. One can only hope.